Hey, greetings, it's Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, we are getting right back to our Matthew verse-by-verse study. We're in Matthew 13, just starting Matthew 13. We're going to start with verse 1. Let's see how far we get. You can go back at don'tperish.com and go to the teaching blog, or at don'tperish.com, look up the verse-by-verse studies. You can catch up and get caught up to verse 13. We're going to start at verse 1. Let's get right to it. Matthew 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went unto a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on shore. So here we have the scenario where Jesus is about to teach, and we're not sure exactly why, but perhaps for better sound, so everyone could see him. Maybe so people wouldn't press in, right? There were times they were pressing in, pushing in to get at him. He goes out in a boat to speak to them while they're all standing on shore. It kind of sets a picture for us to see. And then the word multitude is used here, multitude of people. This is the same word. I'd like to share this. It's the same word that's used in the Sermon on the Mount and in the book of Revelation, where it talks about a multitude of people in heaven. It basically means a crowd. And in the Sermon on the Mount, we know it was about 5,000 men plus women and children. So it could be as small a number as, what, 10,000 people maybe? And it could be a larger number as well. So I like to always put that in there, multitude. It doesn't have to be millions and millions of people. It just means a large crowd of people. We don't know how many people are going to be in heaven, but we know that Jesus said few will find it, although there will be many people over the ages that have believed on the Most High and will be in the kingdom of God. Verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. All right, so here Jesus starts probably one of the most famous parables, the parable of the sower. And it's a parable, which is a life-conveying moral. That's really what that means. And so it's like an illustration of a real-life point. We're going to find out later why Jesus uses parables as we keep going. But for now, let's just say it's a life-conveying moral, and Jesus chooses to use these. We'll find out why as we read ahead. And a sower, spiro, is someone that scatters seed, right? So think about a sower like planting in a garden or a farmer. And this parable is a direct pointing to, if we look at all the correlations of God's truth going out as seeds, we know God's people are the ones that sow it and plant it, put it out there. So think about that when you think about the sower parable. It's God's truth going out, right? And so we know that Jesus later will explain to us exactly each stage. He'll put it in his own words. Later on in Matthew 13, he talks about exactly what stage each one is. But for now, we're just going to read them. And as a street preacher and one who witnesses the gospel and sows it towards people, I'm just going to give you a quick little scenario of what I see out in the street, and then later we'll read Jesus' words about each individual situation. So let's read about the four situations of the seed sower. Verse 4, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Okay, so this first situation is sowing truth of God's word. That's what this is all about. And it falls by the wayside. Well, where's that? It's a journey, a road, or a traveled way. And then it says, the fowls devoured them up. Well, the story of this area of this parable is the seeds found no place to take root at all. They went out, and there was no growth that happened. So no one heard them. No one yielded to them. It's kind of like this. Imagine if I go out in the street and I give a gospel card, and this happens a lot. I give a gospel card to a man as I'm preaching, and due to the culture, hardness of his heart, or the enemy, Satan's ways, whatever, he rejects it and he just tosses it on the ground. and a street sweeper comes, takes it away. Yeah, these seeds had no chance to grow into a harvest. That's what this first parable situation's about. And sadly, that happens all the time in these last days in this godless culture we live in. So that's situation number one. How about the next one? Verse 5. And some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. All right, so this second area of the parable of the sower, these are seeds that are landing in not really good places to grow, rock with soil. It's got a little bit going on, but not a lot. So this would be a person that hears the gospel, and it might spark their interest, and they might hear something that, you know, resonates with them, and they may pause to listen for a bit, and something rises up in them. But it's a flash in the pan, as they say. There's no root. And we're later going to find out that this means when trouble comes, when situations arise, they can't handle it. They fall right back to where they were, and they just wither away. A plant with no root is just going to wither. The soil wasn't good. The person hearing wasn't fit for carrying this message and receiving it. It was not going to be. So that's the second situation. How about the third situation, parable of the sower? Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. All right, so here we see the seeds of God's word and truth falling, and they spring up, but there's a problem. They're springing up right next to thorns. Now, that would be, in another situation, people who hear the truth, and they take to it, they listen to it, they yield to it, but they allow thorns. Well, that what is that? That would be churchianity, their flesh, the culture, ungodly family, life in general. And all these issues come up, trials and tribulations, whatever, chokes them out, right? And they can't grow up in the Lord. Yeah, we see that a lot too. Absolutely. You must propagate a good ground, and you must make sure that there's a fertile place to grow in order to bring forth fruit. We're going to talk about that in this fourth one, verse 8. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Okay, here's the best situation right here. Seeds of God's truth are landing on good, fertile soil. Seeds can take root here. And the people hear it. They respond to the gospel in repentance. And they obviously are born again in holiness and obedience, and they're going to endure in the faith, and they place their faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood. I just preached the gospel to you there. All through repentance and God calling them. And notice that it says, each had varied fruit. So it had said some 100, some 60, some 30. So think about that. Everyone has different talents, different abilities, different time, a different measure of what God's given them. So we don't compare all of those type of things, our gifts, our talents. We're to strive to do the best we can with what God has given us, and then he sees fit to how it comes out in the end. But this is the best scenario. The seeds falling on the good soil, it's listened, it's yielded, the seeds can get deep roots. The truth of God, this would be a person that's going to be a Berean and walk in all of God's ways, strip down their flesh, come out of the churchianity system, the culture, all false ways, and they're going to grow up in God, unfettered, no thorns. They're not getting taken away by the fowls or the street sweeper, and they're not falling away when there's a little bit of tribulation. They're enduring to the end. So you see those four different scenarios with the sower of the seeds, and that is real life. That happens every single time we go out to preach the gospel. We see it over and over and over. And Jesus is going to give us his own explanation on all of these in the future verses. Verse 9, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. All right, simple saying. What this means is if you have the desire and the ability to understand God's truth and you will discern it, you will. You will. Many people hear the gospel, but only few truly hear it, ponder it, receive it, are drawn to it, repent to obey it. You get the point? Many people can hear, only few are affected by it. That's what Jesus says when he says, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Ears to hear means a readiness of mind, like it says in Acts 17, to receive the truth. Most people don't have that. They've made up their minds against the word of God. They love their flesh and the culture more. They have a different master. They don't want to lose their life. For whatever reason, their will won't bend to the gospel and to the sowing of God's truth in their life. They're going to fall into one of those other categories and not grow up in good soil. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? I like that. Kind of a blunt question. They're like, why are you talking this way, master? And Jesus says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Okay, the disciples don't quite understand. Remember, they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're not indwelt yet. They don't understand why Jesus is telling these moral life stories, and he goes on to make it clear. This is God's way of hiding the truth from those that won't hear it, that'll trample it, that'll reject it, they'll throw it by the wayside. Parables hide the truth, and it makes those who want it seek it, ponder it, discern it, come after it. And those that desire not to, they're not going to get it. They don't really care. It's not an issue for them. It's hidden from their eyes. They don't have ears to hear, even though they can clearly hear. You get my point? They're not going to get it. And again, this is pretty amazing. This is how God keeps his truth from being cast. Remember, he tells us not to cast our pearls. So Jesus is speaking to all this multitude, and he's speaking to a specific target market audience, and that is those who have ears to hear, and they'll apply what he's saying to their life. They'll discern it. They'll seek it. They'll ask the Lord for light and truth, and God will reveal it to them. The other people, what have we learned all through Matthew? They're looking for food. They're looking for miracles. They're looking for a king to come and set them free from Rome so they can have a better life. They're not going to hear the truth of God is the main point here. So the parable, these life lesson stories or life lesson accounts, these are great tools that help us discern if we have the ability to hear, right? When we read these parables, we don't just brush them off. We go, what does that mean? And we seek after that truth. And as James says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. So as we draw near to God and we draw near to these truths, he reveals more and more to us. The Holy Spirit teaches us, John 14. But others, no. Most others, they're not going to hear it. They're not on good soil. They're either by the wayside, they're on the rocky ground, or they're hanging out among all the thorns, and they're not going to listen. They're not going to stand for it. They don't want the cost. The cost is great to follow Christ. We learned that in Matthew 10. You must lose your life, lose family, pick up your cross to follow after him in all of your ways. So that's why Jesus is speaking these parables. And again, as soon as we get going further here in Matthew 13, he tells us more details about each of these sowers' accounts, the four different accounts, and exactly what they are. And then he gives us the big picture of what this parable is all about. But I think for tonight, we're going to stop right here at verse 11. We'll pick it up next time at verse 12 in Matthew 13. And we will keep going bit by bit, piece by piece. And I hope that you have ears to hear. I hope these parables cause you to ponder and dig and seek for the precious pearls of God's word. Most people, they tell me, oh, I read the Bible, but I can't understand it. And, they just walk away from it. God hides the truth from people like that. He's not going to reveal it unless you seek it with all that you are. Isn't that the greatest command? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can't do that if you're not going to seek after the precious pearls of God's truth. So we'll leave it right there. We will pick up next time, Matthew 13, starting at verse 12. I hope these have been edifying to you. Try to keep them 15, 20, 30 minutes at the most, so that you have time to ponder and you can pick up where you maybe have missed out on some of them as I'm going through them. So we'll pick up again next time. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. Lots of resources for you. Thousands. Because we love God. We love our neighbor. We want you to be in the Word. We want you to be a seeker. We want you to be a child of God via the gospel. So the call today is to go repent and obey the gospel. Check it out at the website and let us know how we can help you in the faith. Hey, till next time. We love you all. May God be praised.